salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this time, and we're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, we left off in verse number 19. We're going to back up to verse number 9 here and get the thought. The Lord Jesus has made his triumphant entry. He's dealt with those the leadership and there in Jerusalem in chapter 19, there at the temple. And he's purged the temple and he's made this distinction about it being his house. At the beginning of his ministry, when he had gone in and done such, he said his Father's house, but now it's his house, he says, because the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed God. He's not a God, as some believe, and say that he is, but he is God Almighty himself, come in the flesh, God the Son. And then they come and they ask him a question here in chapter 20 about his authority. He asks about John the Baptist and who John was sent from. They couldn't answer. Jesus didn't answer their question. And then in verse number 9, he says he began to speak to the people a parable about a certain man that planted a vineyard and has this vineyard, and the dealing with them, the killing of that man's son when he's sent to collect those goods, and making it very clear that the leadership there in Israel are these husbandmen, these wicked husbandmen that are at hand. They're in the majority. Not all of them are this way, but many of them are. And then the Lord makes this declaration about the stone falling upon a sinner, it will grind him to powder, but whosoever falls upon the stone shall be broken, shall be made contrite, repentant, and in that being rescued by the rock of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pick it up here in verse number 19, and the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And he did. It was very clear that they are the husbandmen that have been given the vineyard. The glory, the pay that is due unto the Lord is glorification and teaching of the people and proper tending of the vineyard. But they have sought to ingratiate themselves. Verse 20, and they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. So they're working mischief, and they're looking to trip up the Lord and anything that they can find, and just to get him in trouble with Rome. And they ask him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. And so here there are these that are sent, and it tells us, I believe in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, that these are of the Pharisees and the Herodians that come to him. And there are two groups that would never be found in confederacy one with another, but in this day, having the common enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, they indeed are confederate. And so they go and they ask, it said, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not? For the Jews, should we be doing this or not? But he perceived, verse 23, their craftiness, and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? And so he asks for a penny, and they bring it out there, and he says, look at that penny. Whose image is coined into that coin, is made into that coin? Whose image is that? whose superscription, the writing that is on the coin, who does it tell about? And they said, and they answered and said, Caesar's. Of course it is, because it's the government that has issued the money, declared and authorized and sanctioned and determined what money is to be used. That's the role of civil government. All civil government, we understand from the scriptures, is of the Lord. Yes, even the worst of dictators and leaders, despots and wicked, evil men, are put in place by God. And don't let that roil you. Don't let that cause you to be angry and believe that God would never do such a thing. A clear understanding and reading of the scriptures declares, Nebuchadnezzar declares that God does what he wants amongst the inhabitants of men. And as he deals with Israel, the Lord makes it very plain that he sets men in position and authority, uses them to judge other nations, and then judges them even themselves for the wickedness that they do. When dealing with God, we're not dealing with another man like you and me. We're dealing, or rather God, Almighty, our Creator, is dealing with us. And he is holy and pure and upright and steadfast and just in every respect. And he does judge men. He does judge nations. And I pray that you're not found a rejecter of that truth and a denier of that truth, because your doom and destruction will be of men most miserable if you do not yield and submit to the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he said, show me a penny. Whose image and superscription is it? They say it's Caesar's. And he said unto them, verse 25, render therefore, because the image on the money, the superscription on the money, has to do with Caesar. Render therefore, because of that, because he is the government of the day, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And so he says, whatever Caesar levies, that's what you should pay. We should obey the authorities of the government and the law of the land until it causes us and it pushes us to disobey God Almighty. Jesus declares it here. What's Caesar's? You honor him with it. Whatever he levies, you pay it. But don't forget about God. The things that be God's, you render unto him too. And so, so we are to obey the civil authority until the civil authority looks to cause us, pushes us, presses us to disobey the command and the word of the Lord. And so it says in verse 26, and they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. And so they sure were not expecting that kind of an answer. They had no idea that would be the answer. They're looking to catch the Lord in some kind of insurrectionist dialogue and words that he would put forth. But he says, no, the civil government is to be obeyed. And God is to be obeyed too. Verse 27, then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they ask him. And so the Sadducees here, they're a different sect of the Jews in the leadership, evidently, and at times. They don't believe that there's any resurrection of the dead. They don't believe that there's any angel, nor do they believe in any spirit. They just believe in the physical realm that we see here. And so they're going to give it their try at trying to trip up the Lord. They say, it says in verse 28, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren. And so there was a law, there was a command in Israel for the sake of the continuing of the posterity in Israel and the nation, that the nation would continue on and that family lines would continue on, that if a brother, a man, died having no children, that one of his brothers should take the man's wife and raise up children unto the name of his brother. That's something that seems just doesn't, it's not a fit with our culture. It's not a fit with what we think and what we should do today. It was not a command given unto us. But it was to Israel, and it was right, and it was of the Lord, for the continuing of the nation. Remember, Israel was a very small nation. Today, we don't do that, and that's not commanded to us Gentiles. It was given to the nation of Israel. And so now they're taking this command of Moses from the Lord, and they're posing it to the Lord, saying that there were some brothers here, seven of them. Verse 29, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. So in their impossible scenario, or very unlikely, very, very unlikely scenario, seven brothers have this woman to wife, and that's the way that it is. It was not to be a wicked, salacious kind of thing, but they were to take her to wife and raise up children for their brother's name. And so the first died having no children. So the next brother took her and to wife and had no children. On down the line, on down the line, on down the line, seven of them. The seventh brother dies, and then last of all, the wife dies. And there's no children. There's no seed. So they pose this thing to the Lord. Verse 33. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. So the Sadducees, they don't believe in a resurrection. So they're declaring this. They're asking this tongue in cheek, with a big grin on their face. I believe. Therefore, in the resurrection, they say. They don't even believe in a resurrection. Whose wife is she going to be? Jesus answering said unto them, verse 34, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. The Lord makes it very clear that marriage is for now, not then, not the life to come, but now. In the life to come, the Lord declares, fellas, there is a resurrection. And so he shuts them down on the thing that they hold to, that there is no resurrection. He says, indeed, there is a resurrection, but marriage is not for that time. Verse number 36, neither can they die anymore, because this is the resurrection. For they are equal unto the angels. And so now they don't believe in an angel, but the Lord declares there are angels indeed. And are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. They live. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he calleth the Lord of the God of Abraham and Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but the God, but of the living, for all live unto him. So he says there is a resurrection. The children of God in that day, in that time, will be as the angels, equal with the angels. And understand this, fellas, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living, because he declared unto Moses in the bush, I am, present tense, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are alive. There is that spirit realm in the meantime before our brethren get their bodies, that they are alive. It is so about the resurrection. It is so about the angels of God, those ministering spirits. And it is true and so that there is a spirit realm in which the saints of God are alive, awaiting the resurrection of the Lord to have their new bodies like Christ. Verse 39, then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m.
Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.